Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Well, good morning, everybody. And it's good morning to Edenvale this morning, and it's good morning to our Thrive family in Boksburg as well. We're streaming live to Boksburg, so give them a shout and say hello. Hello, Boksburg. And before we go any further, good morning to Brakpan as well. What would a greeting be without a greeting to Brakpan? And it's also a very good morning and a huge warm welcome to our friends at My Church in Adelaide, Australia. We are so delighted that we're able to get this message to you this morning. We have known your pastors, to Pastor John and Beck, and to Stella, Mia and Ivana. We want to say hello. We love you. We're so grateful for your friendship. We feel like we know and love all of you at My Church already. Pastor Jonathan is going to be with us, Thrive, in just a couple of weeks on Sunday, the 1st of June. And so this message is going to you, My Church, while he is here with us at Thrive. So we know you. We love you. We can't wait to have your pastor with us. We're so grateful that you would be able to release him to us when he gets here in June. We're really, really looking forward to that. And to the rest of us people in Joburg, good day, mate. Church, choices. How many of you know that sometimes a choice faces us with future-altering and life-defining consequences? Have you ever faced a choice where you just know in that moment, my future hangs in the balance here? Pastor Cand had one of those moments 23 years ago when I proposed to her in marriage. I had planned a hot air balloon ride. I got up in the balloon and then got down on my knee, popped the question, and she took forever to answer. I think it was because she knew that her future hung in the balance. And depending upon the answer, I think in reality it was maybe only a few seconds, but for me, it felt like this is taking long. Are you seriously considering saying no right now? My grandfather maintains that the only reason she said yes is because the air up there was very thin and one makes poor decisions in high altitude. You know, it's a little bit like the young man who takes a high-flying, high-charging job. He guns for the corner office, he guns for the status, he guns for the salary, he guns for the promotion, and he achieves it all. But as he looks back, he realizes actually he had a choice of two lives. And he chose the life that was going to give him the status and the promotion. But as he looks back, he realizes that in the process, he lost his soul. Reminds me of a lady called Rosa Parks. An American lady in the mid-1950s, one day tired from work, she sat on a bus to take her home, and she sat in what was called the colored section of the bus. And in those days, they had very similar laws to what our apartheid laws were here. And she got asked to by a white person to move so that the white person could sit in her seat. And in that moment, she had a choice of two lives to make. Would she follow her conscience or would she follow the unjust law of the land? And she chose her conscience and she said, I'm not going to move. It was the start of what became known as the Montgomery bus boycott. And that in turn sparked a massive wave of momentum in the civil rights movement in the 1960s. The point that I'm making with these today is choices can define us, choices can define our future. And Jesus, in his masterful teaching in Matthew chapter 5-7, called the Sermon on the Mount, in this his greatest, most challenging, certainly his most famous teaching, ultimately it's the most famous sermon ever delivered, ever in humanity's history, the Sermon on the Mount. In this sermon, Jesus basically, essentially puts before us a choice of two lives. Choices. They define us. They define our future. They change our future. And in the Sermon on the Mount, this sermon was given to both the crowd and it was given to his disciples. It was given on the side of a mountain one day. In this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus calls his followers to a choice. And the choice is, do you want the kingdom of God life or do you want the kingdom of me life? He says essentially, in our lives, there will only be one of two ways you can go. You can pursue the kingdom of me or you can pursue the kingdom of God. And in this teaching, he outlines the choice and he outlines the consequences. He starts with things that we've come to know as the Beatitudes. He starts by telling us how the people in life that are blessed are not really the people that you and I think would be blessed. It's the meek, it's the mild, it's those who are poor in spirit, it's those who mourn, it's those who grieve. The people that you and I think are the least are actually the most. He goes on to talk to us about like a deeper call to righteousness, like a life lived differently. He says it's not just don't murder. It's not just don't have an adulterous affair. He's like, actually address the deeper issues in your life. It's the anger that's got a root of you. It's the lust that's embedded inside of you. It's the most famous sermon ever given, and it is the start of our series today at Thrive Church, called the Sermon on the Mount, what it really looks like to follow Jesus. And in the Sermon on the Mount, church, Jesus issues us with an invitation. He lays before us a choice, the choice of two lives, kingdom of God or kingdom of me. Today we're going to start right at the back end of the sermon. And for those of you with OCD, those of you with admin giftings, those of you that like things sequentially, I've done this today really just to mess with you. I went to a restaurant the other day where the front page of the menu was dessert, and it said, why not start with the best things in life? I liked that, and so I ate my tiramisu before I ate my oxtail. I start with the end of the Sermon on the Mount because it is the place where Jesus most starkly and most clearly and most thoughtfully, I think, outlines the choice for us between the choice of two lives, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of me. So the first text we're going to dive into today is Matthew chapter 7, towards the back end of the sermon, and we're going to build from there further into the remaining parts and remaining verses of Matthew chapter 7. I'm starting in Matthew chapter 7, and we're starting in a moment where Jesus talks about a narrow path and a wide path. And this particular text, don't think I've forgotten, I'm doing it intentionally, we're going to read this text a few times together because it lays the foundation for the rest of what we'll hear today. Matthew 7, 13 onwards. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow. And the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life, it's very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose it. But the gateway to life is narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Jesus, as he lays before, you see the latter part of the Sermon on the Mount, where we will be today in Matthew 7, is the choice between two lives. And Jesus starts the discussion on these two lives with a discussion on a narrow road and a broad road. And to situate this for us, in first century Jewish times, that illustration that Jesus gives, church, would have been absolutely crystal clear to his listeners, because everybody in the time there knew that the narrow road led to Jerusalem and the broad roads led away from Jerusalem. Let me explain why. Jerusalem, the geography of the city was such that the roads to Jerusalem had to remain narrow. There wasn't a lot of space with which to build a wide road. But they were also kept narrow because it was the Jewish people that would go to Jerusalem on pilgrimage for festivals, for feasts, and they would walk as families or they would walk as groups. And typically they would be walking. And so the roads were able to be a bit more narrow, whereas the roads away from Jerusalem out into the countryside, those were Roman roads built by the Romans, and they were built for the express purpose of connecting Jerusalem to the surrounding countries so that economically Jerusalem could access the other countries in close proximity to it. Rome was interested in commerce. Rome had chariots. Rome had horses. Rome had vehicles that it needed to get from Jerusalem to the remaining parts of the world. Are you with me? And so Roman roads were wide, and the symbolism that Jesus is mentioning here, church, is that the roads away from Jerusalem, symbolically, the roads away from God were wide, but the roads to God were narrow. Are you with me? So what is this narrow road? You see, because Jesus and the remaining part of the Sermon on the Mount for today all depends upon an understanding of what a narrow road is. What is the narrow road that Jesus was referencing there? The narrow road, very simply, was the culmination, the sum. It was all of what Jesus had taught in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. The Sermon on the Mount is the narrow road. The Sermon on the Mount is the narrow road. What I want to do is just take 2 minutes today to give you a little bit of a summary of what the Sermon on the Mount and the narrow road, like, what does that narrow road actually look like? What's Jesus getting at when he talks about a narrow? How could we describe it? Let me give you 7 things quickly that describe the narrow road. The first thing is that Jesus is interested in the narrow road, the choice between two lives, the narrow road. It's heart above appearance. God looks at the heart. He does not look at the external things. It's not enough, Jesus says, not to murder, not to have adultery. It's rather address the anger and the lust in your heart. Are you with me? It's not the external activity that matters. It's what's embedded in our hearts. Secondly, it's that we are invited to love beyond human normal limits. So it's love your enemies. It's pray for the guy who hurt you. It's do to others what you would like them to do for you. That's the invitation. It's like love, but beyond the normal human limits. Are you with me? It's humility and dependence on God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the meek, the mourners, the ones who grieve. It's blessed are those who recognize their need for him. The world rewards the prideful and the proud, but God sees the humble. It's quiet, honest spirituality. Fourthly, pray in secret, fast in secret, give in secret. It's a pray, you know, go into your closet, Jesus says, and pray there. Don't be the guy on the corner of the street in a recognizable spiritual outfit so that people can see how great. It's pray and fast and give and cultivate a secret life with God. It's freedom from materialism and worry. Don't store up treasures on earth. Store them up in heaven. It's simplicity. It's generosity. It's living counter to the culture of materialism. It's give away stuff. It's how many pairs of shoes do you really need? It's like when you go to the mall, and in Adelaide, I love your malls. I love them. And can I assure you, Pastor Jonathan loves Eastgate out here in Johannesburg. But you know, it's when you go into Cotton On and when you go into H&M, and it's saying no to that thing simply for the sake of saying, I don't need more. It's discernment without judgment. It's removing the log from our own eye. It's suspending judgment. It's realizing we're not all that, and we are not as quite as wise as what we thought we were in our own eyes, and we're not quite as good as what we thought we were in our own eyes. It's obedience and wise living. Hearing Jesus's words isn't wise living. Coming to church is partly wise living. The real rub comes in whether you and I will hear his words and assimilate them into our lives and actually enact them. This is the narrow road that Jesus outlines, and he gives a choice between two lives. This choice is represented by a narrow road or a broad road, a narrow gate and a broad gate. And now here's the thing. You see, Jesus, in his masterful way of teaching, he starts with an image that every single one of his listeners would have connected to, and he builds on it and continues with images that they would relate to. And he says, now, depending upon whether you chose the narrow road or the broad road, your life will now become one of two things. It'll either become a good tree or a bad tree. You'll become one of two trees. Secondly, you'll become one of two people, either a true disciple or remain a member of the crowd. And your life will either be a building built on, and it will stand, or your life will become like a sandcastle that washes away with the tides. The choice is yours, the narrow road or the wide road. Simply put, the narrow road is the kingdom of God. The wide road is the kingdom of me. Are you with me? And so Jesus says the choice of two lives lies before you. The invitation into the kingdom of God life awaits. Let me show you what your life will look like if you choose wisely. Matthew chapter 7, 15 onwards. Jesus says here, your life's going to become one of two trees. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but they're really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. If you're taking notes today, and remember, note takers skip the queue to heaven. This is an important statement to underline. You can identify them by their fruit. In other words, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. If you're considering dating, if there's a guy, he looks the part. Man, he smells like $1 million. He's wearing, in honor of Pastor Jonathan, he's wearing an Italian linen suit. He's got the best pair of Italian leather shoes. He looks and smells like $1 million. Do us a favor. Have a look at his friends. Have a look at his life. Have a look at the fruit of his life. Have a look at how he treats his parents. And you will see fruit. And you will see whether he's a good tree or a bad tree. Anybody who is looking for a man, you can say amen right now. Amen. Okay. Here's the thing, it'll be on the screen. The narrow gate and the narrow path produces a good tree. The wide gate and the wide path produces a bad tree. Notice, Jesus uses the word notice so much. Notice, it's beyond the, just as we identify a tree by its fruit, so we identify those who follow Christ by their actions and not by their words. You can talk a good game, but let's look at your life. Jesus continues. He said, not only will, depending upon whether you choose the narrow road or the wide road, not only will your life look like one of two trees, you will end up becoming one of two kinds of people. Let's read. Verse 21, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, your words mean nothing. Only those who actually do. Everybody say do. Boxburg, say do. Come on, Adelaide, say do. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, performed many miracles. Like we did spectacular things in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. I am resisting all the temptation to go down rabbit trails and short lefts because there's so much there. Here's the thing. It'll be on the screen. The narrow gate and the narrow path produces true disciples, and the wide gate and the wide path produces a crowd. A follower of Christ, a disciple, is defined by their obedience to God's will and nothing else, not by their words. We are, as followers of Jesus, we are recognized by our actions, not by our words. I was hoping for 15 amens. And Jesus continues. Don't you wish sometimes, like it's in these moments of the intensity of his teaching, don't you wish that he had just stopped? Don't you think, Jesus, can you just hit the brake for just a moment? I don't know how it's going in Boxburg and in Adelaide, but in Edenvale, people are taking strain here with Jesus' teaching. Jesus says, wide road, narrow road, wide path, narrow path. A choice of two lives. Depending upon which road you choose, your life will become one of two trees. A good tree producing good fruit, or a bad tree producing bad fruit. And you'll become one of two people. You'll become increasingly a follower of Christ, or you will forever remain the crowd. The third image that he then offers us is he says, your life will become a stable house, or your life will become a sandcastle. Let's read it. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. I love that wording. It's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. You see, when the rains come and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. For he taught with real authority, not like the teachers of their teachers of religious law. These are his final words in the Sermon on the Mount. I want us today to take note of that, church. This closing paragraph that we've just read now, these are Jesus's final words in his Sermon on the Mount. And he chooses this moment to tell us how to build a life of resilience, a life of quality, a life of stability. We're not on the screen. The narrow gate, the narrow path. He says, hey, if you choose that path, though it's harder, I promise you, your life will have stability. Your life will have resilience. The wide gate and the wide path, though it's easier, yes, you'll take short-term gain, but you'll take long-term pain. It will produce weakness. It will produce instability. Your life will come crashing down. It might take 1 year, 3 years, 5 years. In South Africa, it might be like the Zondo Commission. You know, you can steal the money for so long, but eventually it will catch up with you. Please, Jesus. And every South African said amen. In Australia, we don't know if you have corrupt politicians. So if you do, just say amen as well. But we do. Are you with me, church? And Jesus takes this moment to press home, yet again, for the third time with these images. The emphasis, the importance, the reality, church, that action matters and words don't. In the text, he says, those who take my teaching and actually put it into practice, you'll build your house on a rock. As with the two trees, it's about actions and not words. As with the two kinds of people, disciples and crowd, it's about actions. You'll know them by their fruit, he says, with the trees. The real disciples are the ones who put my Father's will into action. And then lastly, the two kinds of houses. You can have a sandcastle or you can have a stable house. The difference is fundamentally, do you take his words seriously and put them into practice. What am I saying to us today? We have a choice of two lives, a kingdom of God life or a kingdom of me life. And they are mutually exclusive lives. You can't be half pregnant. Amen? Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, invites us into the kingdom of God life. And Jesus says, if you lose your life, and find mine, you'll find life like never before. And that's why Dallas Willard says in his quote, Jesus' teaching shows us how life works best. Jesus' teaching offers us the best life possible now and forever. You see, following his teaching, it leads, church, it leads slowly but surely, like I said at Easter, it leads to the slow shaping of our soul. When we enact Christ's words, when we take his words and learn to put them into practice, we learn how to live a little bit more fully, live a little bit more freely, live a little bit more fruitfully. We start to live at depth. We start to pursue wholeness. We start to learn how to become people of love. We start to desire the right things. Here's the thing. The only pathway into that life is not to hear about it, but it's to decide to do it. And so my closing request, exhortation, encouragement, my closing pastoral, I want to say I'm begging. is that we would do something action-orientated to prepare us for this sermon on the Mount. These next few weeks are going to be enormously important in our formation as people. And in order to prepare, what I want to ask us to do, my invitation, my ask, my encouragement, my exhortation is would you decide to do something very simple? And that is simply to take Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 and read it this week. Everybody say this week. This week. And then to take it one step further, because remember Christ's words is, you can read, you can hear my words, you can hear as much about it as till the cows come home, but unless you enact it, your house will be a sandcastle, your tree will produce bad fruit, you'll stay the crowd. It's only the good tree with the good fruit. It's only the house built on rock. It's only the true follower of Jesus that actually takes his words and puts them into practice. So, the ask for us as a church is to be very action-orientated about this. It is to take Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and read it. Everybody say, this week. And to prepare our hearts as we do so, and then to pick one thing that you think, oh God, you've got my number on this. This is what you're talking to me about. Maybe for you, it'll be dealing with your anger. Maybe it'll be putting a guard house around your life to deal with the lust. Maybe it'll be loving your enemies by releasing them, praying for them. Maybe it'll be doing to others what you want them to do for you. Maybe it'll be deciding to suspend judgment, to put trust in the gap. Maybe it'll be you deciding, I'm going to take the log out of my own eye before I start taking specks out of others. Maybe it'll be a decision to get into a room quietly and begin to pray. Maybe it'll be to give secretly. Maybe it'll be to fast, and God will have your chocolate number, and he's going to talk to you about chocolate, and you're going to have to be prepared to give up chocolate. There were no amens here in Edenville. Maybe it'll be a commitment to simplicity, to buying less, to trusting for daily provision, like at a new level where you're actually giving up, you're sacrificing at a whole new level, and that forces us to our knees to trust God. If I start to tithe, am I going to have enough money at the end of my month? Like, that's where it gets real. Maybe it'll be God calling us into a new level of humility. Hey, let me just slow down when it comes to how good I think I am. Maybe it'll be to stop our judgment of others. I don't know what it'll be for you. I know there's a whole long potential list there for me, which leads me to really my final closing comment today, and that is this. The invitation to a Kingdom of God life is a fundamental rewiring of our existence. Yes? Okay. So be kind to yourself. Banish the word try from your vocab and replace it with the word learn. I'm going to learn to give such to the point where I'm going to become a tither in a few months' time. I'm going to learn to stop speaking judgmentally. I'm going to learn to hold my anger. I'm going to learn to pause and count to three before I speak. Are you with me? So what I'm asking is that we take Christ's teachings in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Read it. Everybody say, this week. And take one thing that you feel God might be inviting you into a different way of living. And say, in this area, I'm going to replace the kingdom of God, the kingdom of me with the kingdom of God in this area. Anybody up for that? In Adelaide or Boksburg? Possibly even Brakpan, Edenville, and even Germiston. Even Germiston. Yes? Would you stand? Now I'm going to ask us to take some commitment time now. How many of you know that it's lekker? In Australia, that means nice. It's super nice and easy to listen. You might even be feeling inspired in this moment. How many of you know Monday morning is coming? And your Bible is waiting for you. And Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are waiting for you. And you will have to decide, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to have to get up earlier. Or I'm going to have to take some time during lunch, or I'm going to have to get home. And when all I want to do is stream another thing on Netflix, I'm going to have to open my Bible. How many of you know that is when it's going to cost? Yes? So don't get all inspired now and do squat on Monday. No. We are going to commit ourselves. If we could make an oath, a covenant with each other, we would, right? Come, maybe we can just... We can just be the church to each other. Wherever you are now, in Adelaide, Boksburg, Edenvale, place your hand on just the person next to you, just on their shoulder. Don't be weird about it, hey? Don't be weird. Just be nice. And just pray for the person next to you now. Father, in these moments, we commit ourselves. We covenant ourselves with you. To take your words, Jesus, not only to be hearers of them, but to be doers of them. And to read your word and allow it to shape us. And to take one of the things, Jesus, that you speak about. The invitation to a kingdom of God life. And help us to accept that invitation in just one area of our lives. And lastly, Lord, help us not to try, but to learn. In Jesus' name. Everybody in this beautiful church said, amen. Amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.